This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
You sure? Check your lanyard. Let's see.
Yep. Oh, no. It just says Eddie.
Oh, doggone it. Darn. Anyway, joining us is Miss Steffi Valkoff of NASA.
She's a rocket scientist.
Anybody that works for NASA is just impressive.
That's right. We all think that they're all rocket scientists.
They are rocket scientists.
That's great.
As opposed to us.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, we're not an... she's a rocket scientist and we aren't.
Okay, let's let her talk now.
There you go. Why? Okay. Well, Steffi, you must have a very interesting job here. You're working out of NASA Armstrong, right?
Correct, yes.
And what exactly are you working on?
So I work on the Unmanned Aircraft Systems Integration into the National Airspace System Project, UAS in the NAS. That's the important thing.
Oh, boy, UAS in the NAS. All right.
All right, so...
That's on your business card.
I was going to say, what is all of that about?
Well, our job at NASA is to help develop the detect and avoid technologies in order to fly unmanned aircraft systems into the National Airspace System. So at NASA Armstrong, we perform flight testing in tandem with simulations. NASA Ames performs simulations showing how pilots can use detect and avoid systems at a ground control station to safely fly with other piloted vehicles in the National Airspace System.
Ooh, that's a big a big deal.
So you're not necessarily talking about adding technology to the aircraft itself. It's working in conjunction with ground stations.
So we instrument the UAS. So in this case, our vehicle that we used is an MQ-9 named Ikana. You might have heard that name before. And we instrumented it with ADS-B, has TCAS-2 system on board, and it has a radar. Using that, using the data from those sensors that is relayed down to the ground control station into our detect and avoid display, where a pilot sits at the ground control station and is able to detect and avoid other aircraft in his or her vicinity and avoid them. So we're trying to stop, or we're trying to change the see and avoid to detect and avoid.
Right, but it's drone-based only. In other words, it's the drone guy's responsibility to avoid the other aircraft, not the reverse.
So I would say that this is both have the responsibility, but basically we're trying to detect and avoid the manned vehicle before we go into the conflict area.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're okay. Getting close.
Yeah, I was thinking this was an autonomous drone, but what you have is you actually have a pilot on the ground with all of this instrumentation pointing out, hey, there's traffic ahead, we better do something.
Correct. And actually, we flew into the National Airspace System about a month ago on June 12th in Class A, E, and D airspace using this detect and avoid technology.
Interesting. I bet there was a lot of sweaty shirts there that day going, I hope this works.
Well, we've been doing this flight testing for almost 8 years. We've been developing these detect and avoid systems and getting ready for this sort of capstone flight into the National Airspace System, working with the FAA. We have our industry partners that were instrumenting the aircraft. Several flight test simulations within our airspace. We've done over 1,000 air-to-air encounters, basically testing the system.
Okay, so you're setting up. Okay, your job today is to go fly this airplane into the drone's path. Okay.
Sure, no problem. Well, you know, there's another aspect to this. You were just talking about the different styles of airspace there. How do you interface between your unmanned pilot and air traffic control?
Just like anybody else?
Right. Air traffic control hears a voice on the radio. They don't know where the guy is.
Well, how are they getting the voice to the airplane to the radio? Are you doing that via a satellite link?
So we have a SATCOM, and the pilots talk on VHF frequency to ATC, just like everybody else.
Well, at this point in time, you're using local ATC.
Yes.
But in a situation where you've got a remote pilot halfway around the world, like the military does, or halfway across the country, that may get a little more complicated.
It's still SATCOM. It's reliable technology. Right. And that's what we, because when we were flying, we were using our local band, but then we flew further out on our route. We went switch to the SATCOM, and it worked out very successfully for our flight.
Okay. The sensor suite that you're equipping the aircraft with now, do you think that's going to be the end solution, or are you looking to simplify it or drop the cost of it or anything like that?
So our job here at NASA is simply to help develop these technologies to basically set the stage and show what can be done. And if there's other folks that want to develop that in industry, then they know the research that we have done already.
Right. So you're at this point in time, you're using basically an ex-military drone, but you're looking at the commercialization of this as an end goal, developing a technology that can be applied to commercial private drones flown for whatever purpose.
As I said, That's down the road, but at NASA, we're just getting the research
This
out.
Is a proof of concept system that you're working on.
You
want to figure out what works and what doesn't work and go from there.
Right, and it was definitely a learning process in order to receive the COA because this had been never done before. The Certificate of Waiver of Authorization to Fly in the NAS, MQ-9s or other UAS have done that in Class A airspace before, but no one had requested to do it in E and D, so this was new for us.
Wow.
And D and E are pretty busy places.
That's right, yeah.
You're talking commercial airliners as well as private traffic and everything. And of course, for the big test, you decided to go to New York.
Oh, my goodness.
The air traffic control nightmare of the world.
For this particular flight, we stationed out of NASA Armstrong. So that's at Edward Air Force Base in Los Angeles County. Actually, it's up at Kern County. Flew into LA airspace and up to Oakland and then back down. It was a pre-scripted route. Talked to the FAA, made sure that they're aware of what we were doing. And so they were in the loop the whole time in the planning stages for this demonstration flight.
And I imagine there were a few of them in the tower paying close attention.
Well,
that's right.
You probably had NASA personnel in the towers working with their ATC people as well.
So for Oakland airspace, we did have some NASA personnel up there making sure that everything's going smoothly. Everyone had the route in front of them and knew exactly what we were going to do, and this was simply the demonstration flight.
And you had 16 pages of abort procedures, I'm sure.
And a parachute. I was going to say, what kind of emergency contingencies did you have to plan for to make this flight go off?
So like every other aircraft, The MQ-9 has its own emergency procedures that it needs to follow, but we also had contingencies of what if we go NORDO, what if the goes lost link, things like that.
Right.
We planned all of that out, and so it's something at NASA that's really important for us is the safety aspect of it. So we planned, like I said, months and months in advance the safety aspect of what we're going to do in every type of contingency scenario. And that was in front of every ground control station, every pilot, everybody, all the air crew knew exactly what we were going to be doing.
I wonder if they actually tested any of those. I know NORDO's easy to test, but Lost Link, that'd be kind of scary to test.
So Lost Link, we talked with the FAA, and there was a pre-planned route for everywhere on our route of where we needed to go, and they knew exactly what would happen with the aircraft if it did go Lost Link. But the event of a lost link was so rare, and we had to show that to the FAA that it rarely happens also. And so that was something that was on our minds, but it wasn't a major concern.
Well, you know, you're flying in through a crowded airspace like Los Angeles. Not only do you have to be concerned with air traffic, but if you have, say, a lost link issue, now you got to worry about everybody who's under the airplane as well. What kind of safety protocols do you have in place to avoid a possible incident on the ground?
Sure. So, as I said, we had a lost links route for every single point on our route, and we'd call ATC immediately, let them know so that they can clear the traffic.
Okay.
Our aircraft lost link took us back into restricted airspace over a predefined area that we've done for all our flight testing, and have the vehicle circle around until the team figures out the best option for us for what to do next.
So basically, you've got a fail-safe mode on the aircraft.
Right, it goes autonomous.
And then it goes, uh-oh, lost the radio, time to go home.
That's exactly right. It sends it home, and then we alert everybody of what's going on. And I said the FAA was very well aware of what we were doing that day.
Well, anyway, how did the test flight go?
It was perfect. Honestly, it was just like everybody else. File and fly, took off in the morning, did our route. They checked into ATC. The only difference is that instead of, if ATC says, traffic, to your whatever, left or right, we don't say in sight, we say traffic detected.
Right.
That's
right.
The
nice.
Only difference.
Yep. They got to the gate on time and nobody lost their luggage.
Yeah, and the pilot's able to get a cup of coffee during the flight, too.
There you go.
Well, that sounds very interesting. Are you using off-the-shelf systems, or is this stuff all custom designed and built by NASA?
So this is not built by NASA. We're simply using some of the sensors from our industry partners. So
You are the systems integrator.
Sure thing. And the flight tester for these for this aircraft.
But you're developing your own software.
So NASA Ames is developing its own software, and I believe Langley has some, but the software that we used for the demonstration flight was from an industry partner.
Okay. Wow. Pretty
Sounds
soon.
Great. I mean, well, you know, you think about this, and this is something that I never thought about 40 years ago, and all of a sudden you've got not just unmanned aircraft, but now you've got unmanned aircraft with an autonomous backup to it. I mean, the technology and the work behind this is just incredible. It blows my mind. Poof, gone.
Didn't take much.
No, it didn't. It's not much of a mind, but still, you know, to see what they're doing with these things, you know, the Predators, the Reapers, the Global Hawks and everything. Where do you go from here?
So from here, now that we've done this demonstration flight, now for our project at least, we're moving on to smaller vehicles. So phase one was this capstone demonstration with a large UAS. Now we're moving on to smaller vehicles, about 500 pound, and we're just beginning to start doing the flight testing within our restricted airspace, which is going to be a whole new set of challenges that we need to overcome, but that's what's in store for our project at least.
Domino's Pizza will be delivering by the pizza bomber.
You're going to have a long career at NASA, that's for sure. It sounds like there's no shortage of work.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be busy, but it's really fun work. It's really interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you get hands-on experience working on this thing, or are you just one of those that stands around with a clipboard and says, all right, you got to program this and beat that and tweak that?
So my job at NASA is I'm a flight operations engineer for this project, so I'm responsible for gathering the requirements from our researchers on what kind of encounters we need to do, air-to-air encounters. I help create the flight cards, and I'm also sitting in the control room as a test conductor or a test director when we're doing our flights.
Very cool. Where are you guys on the field? In the NASA Pavilion?
So we are at the NASA Pavilion, yes. And we have a booth there. The U.S. and the NASA project, when you walk in, we are to the right.
Very good. Well, we'll look for you there.
Definitely.
Thank you for joining us. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.